Good morning, Brad. Good morning to everyone all over the world. How y'all doing this morning on this Wednesday morning? I'm so encouraged in the Lord this morning. I received an email from a woman in Spain wanting to buy my logos, materials, my teachings and my book and stuff, and I'm like, wow, from Spain, this is so cool. So, like I told you guys, the website is really booming all over the world. And I'm very excited about it because I believe the Lord is kindling a fire within Garden of Eden Ministries. And I'm telling you, the Bible College is so successful. And I am so, so proud and honored that God is bringing this vision forth. And I'm so happy to be a part of it with all these people and to see how God is changing them and molding and making them. And you're going to get to meet them all Monday night. I'm having a very special broadcast with the first class, the first students. And they are going to go live with me and share their testimony. And so I'm very excited for that. It's going to be a Bride Time Live special. And you guys will get to all be on there and support these people. A lot of them, this is their very first time to ever, you know, be live and share their testimony. So it's a kind of a scary thing, but, you know, we're all family and we're encouraging them to be bold in this hour and to share their testimony because the Bible says in the last days that we will win people through our testimony and that we testify of Jesus when we share with people our testimony because our story is for God's glory. So when we share our testimony, it edifies, it lifts up other people, it encourages other people. That's why I tell you, you know, do not be ashamed of your past. Don't be ashamed of where you came from or, you know, who you was, because I want to explain this again, that all the people that are born in this earth come through a matrix. They're in a woman, which is a tree. They're inside of a womb, which is water, and they are under the earth. Picture it like that, okay? The human body is the dirt. When the little plant comes through the matrix, which is what the Bible describes it as a matrix. When it comes through the matrix, it's a little plant in a big old forest. And you know, that little tree, that little plant just has no choice in the life that God put it in. The parents, the community, their nationality, the country they're in, how they look, what their environment is like, any of that. This little bitty plant coming through has no choice. And is at the mercy of the entire forest in this new earthly matrix, okay? So this little plant grows up with this worldly perspective of who this tree is, okay? But it's not until they find the true creator and the gardener that they begin to discover this is a skewed view of who I really am. This is a distorted view. I grew up and have all these expectations of myself. My family has expectations of myself. I saw myself as this. I see myself. You know, it's because of your worldly environment, natural perception. When you are now grafted in the vine. And you're now brought into the kingdom of God. And Jesus saves you by the blood of the Lamb. He is now detaching your tree. He's detaching your tree from the matrix, from the forest of trees that are all worldly. And he is pulling you out unto himself. In this process, when Jesus is pulling you out, it hurts. You're now rejected. You're separated. You're different. Your heart is changed. Your whole demeanor is changed, and your message has changed. Your love of whatever has changed. And as Jesus pulls those rotten vines off you that were wrapped around you and had you entangled, and he prunes and cuts and, you know, slices and dices as he is carving you into this image that he wrote before time began. See, this is what you have to understand. There is another identity of you that has to be revealed. The one that began in the beginning in the garden was your worldly identity. When you become a Christian, you now are no longer red, yellow, black, or white. You have no identity. This is why messianic Christianity is not a real thing to me. There is no other identity or attachment. Like they say, African American or, you know, Native American, you're either American or you're not. There's, in Christianity, you're either a Christian or you're not. So there is a conversion, which they call this anti-Semitic teaching, because they believe that Jews are not required to convert and leave their Judaism. But the scripture says, yes, you do. Everyone, when they get saved, converts from the sinner to the saved. So when you cross over into this new matrix, the Lord is going to tell you, you know, I have a story for you. You know, a book that's already been written, a destiny book for you. That says, if you will let me have your pen, I will show you the book that you're really meant to shine in. Not the distorted view of the world and how they define success and how they define beauty and how they define what is right and what is wrong. That is a distorted reality in Christendom. Because in Christendom, our eyes are focused on heaven and we live for the eyes of heaven upon us, not the world anymore. So the expectations that we live by are in a different realm. We now live by the expectations of heaven and the expectations of God. So when we got saved, we're now in this new matrix. And now we're in the unknown. We're in a very narrow path. We're beginning to understand the walk of holiness. And holiness is being set apart for him and honoring him and walking by his precepts, which is in polar opposite of the world and how they live and how they do their morals, because their morals are like this. You know, they'll do the namaste hands where they say, you know, I honor the God in you. You honor the God in me. What's sin to you may not be sin to me. You know, it's this ecumenical vomit. But in Christendom, you are now being on the potter's wheel, formed into the image of Jesus. You're now being changed, and it hurts. It pulls, it tugs, it challenges. You're in the unknown. And this is uncharted territory. And some of you may have come in families where they were never saved. You were the first one saved in your family. So thus, you are really marked You are really different. And they don't like it. They don't like it because you challenge them. Your presence that has the presence of the Lord around you. Remember we talked about the aura, this little space around you. They know this and they're convicted and they don't like it. So thus they lash out at you, those angry birds, those angry trees in that other forest that you came out of, which the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. How can I be with you when you are darkness and I'm light? You need to go. We're separate here. You're following a different God. I'm following a different God. We don't mesh. We're two different people. And they don't like it because you're the light now. You are different. And your whole perspective of your mind and your heart is different. And they don't like it because you're messing with their normalcy. See? So I'm encouraging you guys this morning, to accept being different. Accept your separateness and the process that God has you in. So I'm going to give you an encouraging word because this morning is Give Back Wednesday, which I'm very excited because you guys will all pour into each other and give an encouraging word to other people all across the world. So let me give you an encouraging word here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. He's talking about Israel. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? Bam. Or have I no power to deliver? Boy, this is a word this morning, isn't it? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. He's talking about his power here. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinks because there is no water and dies for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Okay? This is where we're going. We want God to use us in this manner to give us that tongue that will encourage people that need encouragement. He wakes me morning by morning. Getting up early in the morning, this is how you should roll, because this is where the power is. This is where I don't really know how to say it except this is where the blessing is, because he says, early in the morning will I rise up and seek you. When you get up early and you give him the first fruits of your day, it just changes your whole day, So I really encourage you guys to do that. Okay, I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakes me morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Lord, open up all our ears that we may hear. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Lord, help us to not be rebellious to your will. When we're hurting, when we're being purged by you, when it hurts, when the pressure is on, Help us to not run or be rebellious. I gave back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. Look at this. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Remember yesterday on the prayer call, we talked about this. We talked about persecution and how people want to run from persecution instead of knowing who you are in Christ and who is guiding you. If God is guiding you, you can do what? All things through Christ. All. And when God puts you on these hard roads or hard trials, it's because He wants to use you there. There's people watching you that need to see how you react to these situations. And this is speaking volumes to them. When He says here, you know, that I hid not my face from shame and spitting, it's like He was saying, I know who I am in God. These people don't know Him. They're ignorant, you know, and that's the way I feel about this worldly situation right now. And why we, you know, can't be mad when these people are Trump supporters and, you know, they're just worldly. They don't see the forest for the trees. Okay, so you have to have grace and you have to have mercy for them because they will find out and hopefully it won't be too late. Hopefully they won't be sucked in the matrix and won't be able to get out. That's the sad thing because the longer they wait to get out, the worse it's going to be on them, you know, and it may be too late. And we're talking an eternity in hell, so this ain't anything to be playing with. You know, so we have grace for them. Like all of these NAR leaders right now, I saw on YouTube this morning, what the world? I mean, these NAR leaders are going through the fire. I mean, they're getting exposed left and right now. We cannot get involved in that rat race. I can't explain that enough, that we have to pray for these people because the devil wants them to kill themselves. He wants them to unalive. You know how it's a new word, their self. He wants them to make Christendom look worse, you know. And so we as a body are not to tear them down. We're to pray for them because it's coming to your house. So we need to really guard that, you know. And have mercy and grace on these people because they don't need anybody else pushing them down. I see it like they're out there with the wolves shredding them. One time I had a dream. This was when I was in the pit and homeless and, you know, desperate for every dollar. You know, like not knowing what I was going to eat every day or where I was going to sleep or whatnot. So when people would give me little things, it's like $1 million. You know, it was just really amazing. So there was this couple that they didn't have a church, but they were, you know, preachers. And he loved me. Him and his wife just loved me. And so they gave me $200 one day. And it was like water in the midst of hell, you know. And I was at their house that night when they gave it to me. And we had a really awesome prayer meeting and whatnot. So I had a dream. And I saw myself broke down on the side of the road in my car. And he walked up to me and he said, I'll get behind you and I'll push your car so you can get going again. And I said, oh, okay, thank you, you know. So I did that and he pushed me and then the car was able to start and I was able to start heading down the road. So I saw him in my rear view mirror and he was waving and you could see the look on his face that he was so proud that I was back on the road. And he was like, bye, you know, way back there. And I was so proud that I was able to be on the road. So I go down this hill, you know, launched out, and I go down this hill, and I'm looking back in the rearview mirror at him waving, and all of a sudden I see a horde of demons behind him. I mean, like, a bunch of devils coming up behind him about to attack, and I'm hollering, "Turn around! Turn around! They're attacking you from behind!" And I knew it was because he had blessed me. I threw that car in reverse and I went, you know, hit that gas pedal to the floor, and I was trying my best to get that vehicle back up the hill where I could help him fight these devils. Man, they overtook him from behind. They got him down on the ground and they was beating him up, and he was taking that Bible and he was slamming them around with that Bible like a sword. And then I saw the angels come from the clouds down to help this man and hold them demons back. And I woke up. And I told him about that dream when I, you know, the next morning. I told him, I said, "Brother, I got to tell you something." I said, "Because you helped me, the devil has an attack planned for you. So I'm just letting you know up front. So let's pray right now that God will give you grace to make it through the attack coming." Do you know that within 7 days, he had just an ungodly attack on him? I mean, I can't remember what it was, but I remember how massive it was. You know, he made it on the other side, but it was really... And all because he sowed into my ministry. The devil was so mad, you know, because you wouldn't believe how the devil has tried to get me to quit time and time and time again because of the suffering. And the only way I survived was dying. How did I die? I would have to fast. I would be so mad and ready to quit and tired of the way these people are treating me and the way people were persecuting me and how everybody abandoned me and rejected me. I was so mad about it. And then I knew you better fast. I'd have to fast about 3 days because I was too much alive. This is what I was telling y'all about Perry Stone. When we react in the flesh, we're too much alive. You know, you have to fast so you can kill yourself. This is the way I say, you kill yourself in fasting, you know. But anywho, you know, by the third day, you know, my flesh has died down and, you know, I have grace again. But that's the only way we're able to continue in our grace is for us to humble ourselves through fasting. Fasting is it's a spiritual warfare tool. I don't know if you guys can tell it or not, but I'm like 100% better in my preaching right now since we've been fasting. I am on fire, let me tell you, on fire. And we've only got a couple of days left. I can't believe it. We've already made it this far. You know, and I'm feeling my freedom. I'm feeling my... You know, that God has restored my bones. You know, he has restored my cells. He's restored my really everything about me because I feel that good. And so I'm ready to face 2025 and all that's before me, you know, because the Lord has, you know, helped me to prepare through the fasting, all the stuff that we've been doing, you know. Amen, Miss Carla. Amen. Okay, so let's go back to the word here. Okay, so when we talk about in verse 6 where it says, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting," that's saying, you know, God, the will of the Lord be done here in our lives. And I'm not trying to take up this morning by preaching. I'm just trying to encourage you that the will of the Lord be done through persecution. This is what the word says. Through persecutions, through famine, through trials, through, you know, all that stuff. You know, we have to know who we are in Christ so that we can go through anything. Because listen, we say we want the miracles. We say we want to leave this earth with a legacy beyond measure. Well, in order to get there, you're going to have to go through hell. I mean, all the other ones did. We're not going to get by with it. I mean, look at all the apostles were martyred except one. They all suffered terrible, terrible deaths. But what is death? What sting is death? When you know that you're already in glory, we're already there. We are living in glory because we serve a king they know not of. So this body is only here temporary, and the sad thing is they are going to answer to God for what they do to me, and that's a scary thing. You will answer for what you're going to do. You know, and that's the way you have to see it. The will of the Lord be done. First of all, you're not going to be able to do it unless he gives you permission. I've told you guys how God has stopped people from punching me in the face. And twice he's done that. Once was that woman at that prayer meeting when she, you know, got all mad because I was doing a prayer meeting with all these women. She walked in the door and came over to me and went to punch me in the face. And God stopped her hand right before she punched me in the nose. And she got so scared, she ran out of the room. And then another time was when I was in Washington, D.C., and I was giving that word to the Republicans and to President Trump, and I was talking about the LGBT vomit and how the Republicans and President Trump cannot partner with that perversion or there will be no more time. And a man got so mad and come over to punch me in the face. I've had the angels literally save me. So here's the key. And I know how they have saved people from car wrecks and everything else. Angels are real and they are working on our behalf. So they're not going to come and cart me off and torture me until God says the time is ready. And when the time is, they can only do what he allows. So what he allows, he's going to give me the grace to go through it. If he's going to bring you to it, he's going to take you through it. You got to know him. You got to know him. And if you cannot suffer your faith right now, before this persecution gets so bad, you will not be able to do it over there. You better be able to suffer your faith in humility, and like this guy, shame, spitting on you. What is your image? Who are you? You're not that important that you're more powerful than Jesus. None of us are. So the will of the Lord be done. Let's go back to verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Duh. There you go. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved just like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. I shall not be ashamed. I shall not be ashamed because my Savior has went before me. I shall not be ashamed. All right, now he is near that justifies me. Exactly what I said. Our God has went before us. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Who are you, you old uncircumcised Philistine? Who are you talking against our God Almighty? Who are you? I know who my God is, but who are you to tell me, you uncircumcised Philistine? I know who I serve. He's the creator of all things. So you better know who you are, too, and who you're messing with. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Because why? Look at the next verse. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Bam! In your face. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemns me? Who are you that condemns me? You know, I've told you all these stories, but so many people come against me. And I tell them, you know, listen, here's the deal, and this is the truth of it all. You are going to answer to God for what you're doing and what you're doing to me. And I'm going to answer to God for what I'm doing and what I'm doing to you. So we're both about to stand before a holy God over this. So we better drop this thing and move forward. We all got something to do here. You know, so it's the truth though, ain't it? Who condemns me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears the Lord? Bam, bam, bam. Who fears? Just like Denise said, they need the fear of the Lord. Amen. Who fears the Lord that obeys the voice of his servant? That walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Bam. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. Woo! God, fill us with your fire today, Lord. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we want to be on fire. We want that fire from the throne of heaven. Yes, we do. We want to be on fire today, Lord. We want them to see your glorious light. Lord, remove all that darkness out of us. In Jesus' name, Lord, fill us with your glory, Lord. Fill us with your might. Fill us with your power, Lord. Fill us with your glory, Lord. Fill us with your fire, Lord. Woo! Come on now. We want your fire, Lord. We want your glory, Lord. We want your fire, Lord. We want your fire, Lord. Fill us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Fill us with your fire, Lord. Fill us with your fire. Remember, I told you guys, there is a difference between the Lord's presence is the fire. It is burning, man. When you get in his presence, you're like on fire. But when you're around the devil, he is ice. He is cold as ice. It gives you chills. It's like evil, wicked, cold. Ugh. Behold, all you that kindle a fire and compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. And in the sparks that you have kindled, do y'all want to spark everybody around you and set them on fire like you're on fire? Lord, we pray for everybody in our surroundings. Set them on fire, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, if they're not meant to be in our surroundings, we pray that you send a fire truck and remove them. Pull out that water hose, Lord, and get rid of these uncircumcised Philistines within our bubble in the name of Jesus. Thus shall you have of my hand. Aww. You shall lie down in sorrow. This shall you have of my hand, and you shall lie down in sorrow. I don't know what he means by that word, sorrow. All right, so that's my encouraging word for you guys today. Isaiah chapter 50. So now I'm going to open up the prayer line for you guys to encourage one another. And remember, you are being recorded, so, you know, just be careful with your name or whatever. And I'm going to go ahead and start from the top here. What about Texas? Good morning, Texas. All right, Texas is not available. What about Virginia? Good morning, Virginia.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have the floor.
Okay. I just have a question.
Yes.
About dreams. When God gives you dreams, and then you wake up and you can't remember it.
Okay.
I mean, just give me an idea. I mean, I know I don't know if my mind's busy or what's going on with that, but I know I had a dream last night, and I got up this morning and I can't remember it at all, but I want to.
Yes, I've had dreams like that too. So what you do is you just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, please give me that dream again so I remember, or help me to remember.
Yeah. All right, I'll try that. But yeah, the bride, be encouraged today. Today is a new day. And let's rejoice and be glad in it. That's all I have this morning.
Well, that's good enough, young lady. Thank you for speaking an encouraging word into the bride. Let's move on to Canada. Good morning, Canada.
Good morning. I'd like to share today
good
about I'd like to share today about enthusiasm for the Lord will make a big difference. Did you know that it's the duty of a Christian to rejoice in the Lord, to be cheerful, joyful, not to display a sad countenance all the time like you were weaned on a pickle? I'll just read a few verses on this subject, and then I'll run you through an experience I had which made a big difference with me. Just what you're talking about today, Pastor June, about being excited for the Lord, right, makes a big difference. So I'll just read a handful of scriptures here. Psalm 43:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 5:11. But let those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 35:9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Acts 2:28, Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. So there's no end to these scriptures. But I'll tell you what happened to me a while ago when I was, I'd only been a Christian for a year or two. Excuse me. I started to lose my enthusiasm. And yes, God had taken me from the slavery of alcoholism. But now most of my beer bottle buddies had stopped associating. Excuse me. Clear my throat here. Most of my beer bottle buddies stopped associating with me, and without the party life to look forward to, I started looking like I was weaned on a pickle. But I had made my choice, and I wasn't going back to that life. I was just feeling down and concentrating on how hard it was to get ahead. I carried a sad countenance, and I had a hard time even to smile back then. But then I met a gentleman who was also a new Christian, and he left a lasting impression on me I will never forget. His name was Ron Kayer, a Frenchman. And when we talked to the Lord, he got fired up, a big smile with sparkling eyes and such enthusiasm I had not seen before. Ron was in the construction business, and even at that time, he wasn't doing so well. But that did not stop his joy in the Lord. Ron's attitude had a huge impact on me, and I left with a great joy in my heart and a commitment to also be joyous in the Lord no matter what comes. So enthusiasm does make a difference, and a smile and a cheerful attitude will win souls for Christ. Praise the Lord, and may he bless his bride. Amen.
That was most excellent, sir. I love the way you shared your story. What an awesome presentation. Thank you. All right, what about Mississippi? Good morning.
Ms. Oberlin.
Hello, sister.
I'm unable to talk.
Hello,
I'm working.
Okay, got you. All right, no worries. Okay, what about Indiana? Good morning. Good morning, Indiana. Okay, she had to get off here then. Good morning, Massachusetts. Good morning, Massachusetts.
Good morning. How you
doing,
Jen? Good morning.
Doing good, sis. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just had John 11:35, Jesus wept. And it's not because Jesus wept, because he did love those who are dying. But he weeps for us, too. We got to realize that he cares so much for us that he weeps over everything we go through. He knows beforehand when we're having struggles, and he's weeping because he has compassion. He loves us more than anything, and he just wants us to be encouraged by he cared enough for Lazarus, who was his friend, but Mary and Martha, because he knew how they were feeling. He knew that they needed love and support. He knew he was raising them again. So it's just that you need to realize that he cares about us so much that he turns around and he weeps for when we're going through bad things.
Well, that is really wonderful, sister. Thank you so much. What about Florida? Good morning.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm gonna be saying some encouraging words from the 120th verse on. I will lift my eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. my help coming from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun will not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord preserveth thy going out and thy coming in from this time henceforth and even forevermore. The Lord is our keeper. He will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is our keeper. I will shade upon his right hand. He will preserve us from all evil. I know evil gonna come, but if you're in Christ, God will preserve His own. Cause you say He won't leave you, won't forsake you. If you're serving Him, He gonna keep you. I ain't say you won't suffer, but still, God, the Lord is thy keeper. Because God, we have to suffer. The Father Christ is going to have to suffer. Because if you ain't suffering, my mama just said when she was living, if you ain't suffering no kind of way, you say you're a Christian, better check yourself because something wrong with that picture. Because if you ain't Christ, you're going to suffer. You're going to have some suffering. You ain't going to have everything fly by the ease all the time. You're going to have to go through suffering too, because God suffered for us. So we got to suffer too. Because if God be following Christ, you got to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's what He said. That's the only encouraging word I have for this morning.
Well, I tell you what, you really nailed it home this morning, because you said Jesus says, like when He was calling His people out back in His day, He would say, pick up your cross and follow me. That was a good one. That's exactly what that is. When those trees have to leave the forest of the world and they have to go, you know, towards Jesus, they have to take that cross, don't they?
Yes.
Good analogy, sister. Good analogy. Way to go, Florida. What about Minnesota again? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I just wanted to not, I don't have a big word this morning, but I was this, it's little, but I struggled a little bit with this fasting thing. When we first started this thing, my family was here. Then I got sick for a couple of weeks, and then my family was here again. And you saw my two little ones. And the one thing that was absolutely a blessing was that she loves her Bible. She absolutely loves David and Goliath. That is her favorite. Every time we get together, she has that Bible, by golly, and she opens it up to David and Goliath. And we talk about how he picks up his rocks, puts them in his sling, and throws it at that giant. And how that giant is... We call it, it goes boom. It drops boom. And then she picks up her Bible, and I'll tell you what, she is just a preaching away. She another language. She's 2 and a half. She's in another language, but she opens it, she flips the pages, and she's talking away. Don't know what she's saying, but she's a preaching away. So I want to encourage each and every one of you. We all have gifts, talents, and abilities. This young girl is she's on the road to being a little preacher. And what I want to encourage you all is God has put those gifts, talents, and abilities in you. And if we truly believe what June was talking about this morning, you know that God will help us. And we will not be confounded, that we do set our face like flint. And when we have an assignment from heaven, we need to realize that we cannot hide behind either. And a lot of people don't like to be on camera. And we can't hide. When you're not on camera, they can't see your face. And when you have the glory of the Lord in you and on you and working through you, this is how people see that glory, and this is where their hearts are going to melt. And you have to realize you have that glory. We don't want to be seen on camera sometimes because we may think, oh, I don't look good. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I have too big of a nose or whatever it is, you know. But what I find is people, when you're truly ministering through and with the Lord, people don't see those flaws in you. What they see is the glory of God operating through you. And that is what God works with. We have to realize in these end days and in these end times, that's where our boldness is going to come from, is knowing that we know that it's God working through us. So I encourage you to not be trying to hide behind whatever it is you hide behind. If it's not being on camera, if it's not wanting to speak up, if it's fear, you know, ask God to help you get rid of that so that you don't have that, and you let your, I know this is going to sound like a two-year-old, but it's so true. Let your light so shine before men. And even though I struggled a bit, I can still fast and continue on, but yet working with my granddaughter and watching her light shine is so parallel, even though we're older, to letting your light shine. Let your light shine to the Satanists. Let your light shine to the legalists and all those people. Just let your light shine. You're going to have people that are going to argue and fight with you. I know that's been my life. I can give you stories, just like June can. But we need to keep our perspective and know. It says, like, if we truly believe, it says, behold, you know, he'll kindle a fire. He will put a fire in you when you stand and you don't back down. That fire will be there because he is there to help you. He is there to shine through you. That's where we have to be such an empty vessel that only his presence fills us. And that's what we talk and minister out of. And I hope that's helped you. I will stop there. And praise God. Amen.
Now, Denise, that is such a good story about, you know, you being a grandma and you're teaching your child, your grandchild. How do the parents react to you preaching the gospel to the child? Because I've ran into trouble with that.
Actually, my daughter doesn't say a word. She loves it, actually. And that's where, right now, we started with Silent Night. So her thing right now is also singing Silent Night. You know, she'll come up to me, and she comes up in my room in the morning, because that's where my prayer time is, and she comes up and she goes, Silent Night, I want a Silent Night. I want a Silent Night. And so
that is
we
funny.
Sing Silent Night. Yeah, and then during the afternoon, I want a Silent Night. No, Silent Night, we did it 6 times this morning. We'll sing it without
that
the video.
That is funny.
You know,
that
but,
is
and the
funny.
VeggieTales. The VeggieTales of David and Goliath, and I, boom, you know, I mean, she just, this is, and David and Goliath, if she keeps that story, it is an excellent story to take with her that David was just a little boy. You know, he was just a young one, but yet God chose him.
Oh, that's right.
I tell her this, right? He's a young one. He picks up rocks. He doesn't have the armor. He doesn't want to wear the armor of the time of the king. He doesn't want to wear the king's armor. He goes there in God's armor. He goes there and fights the Philistine because he's mean and he's wanting to hurt people. And we're to do that, and that's how we pray. And so her and I will pray, you know, we'll pray for mommy, and we'll pray for, you know, grandma, we'll pray for Uncle Joe, and, you know, those times, that the devils don't hurt these people, that God's rocks will help him. So it's just, so some of these things, you know, that she grabs a hold of it. Do not underestimate what the kids will pick up and take with them. it's astronomical. If you just teach them like you teach an adult, but yet not quite like an adult. And I tried doing communion with her the other day, and that's a little, I think, out there, so I didn't push that one. But she understands death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus came back so that we could have life. You know, so these are seeds that are planted in our two-year-olds if we just talk to them. So my daughter, she likes it. And this week, I was able to talk to her a lot about the garbage that's going on in our world about, you know, that we're going to be in tribunals and you need to get your life straight. You need to get on fire for God. I talked to her about it too, you know. And it all came out this week. And so I praise God for that, even though I wasn't perfect with this fasting thing, yet God honored what I could do. And I will continue, I think I'll just continue to go and do as much as I can now. But he honored that. So do what you can do. So if anybody did fail in any of this, don't get bent out of shape. Just continue on and pick up and move on. And God will honor it. God will honor it. And, you know, if your heart's pure, God will honor what you put your foot forward to do.
That is such an encouraging word. Thank you so much, sister. Let's move on then to Florida. Good morning, sister.
Good morning.
Good morning. You got the floor.
All righty. I'm going to read John chapter 17. This is the prayer of intercession. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and thou have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them the word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not.
Bam! Shabam!
Sanctify them.
Yes, girl.
Thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Okay. Amen.
Wow. That is, I mean, this could not have ended this broadcast today better. I mean, really. That sealed it, because Jesus is like, listen, I'm telling you people, if I'm going to suffer, you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna partner with me, then be ready to pay the price. That's really what he's saying, you know.
Oh,
okay. So we've got the lady from Texas who's ready now. Thank you so much, Florida. All right, this is our last caller of the day. Hello, Texas.
Hello. Good morning. Can y'all hear me? Hello. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes.
Good morning, Bride. Good morning, Bride. God bless each and every one. Today I'm going to share a scripture, 1 Peter 2, and it 1 Peter chapter 2, and it goes along with when you were talking about, you know, that we are not to be ashamed, and also with the sister that mentioned that we are to be like a light. And also, we are a peculiar people. People look at us and they know we're just, they make us seem like we're from another world. Well, we're in the world, but we're not of this world. And in 1 Peter, to encourage my brothers and sisters, I'm going to read chapters 2 from 1 all the way down. I'll end it there. It says, our inheritance through Christ's blood. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow. Thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And that's what I wanted to share, that we are a peculiar people set aside for God in his kingdom.
Well, if that wasn't even the icing on the cake, that was perfect. Thank you so much, sister. I really appreciate all of you guys. Oh, you too, sister. You too. I appreciate all of you guys encouraging one another and everything. So I'm going to stop this recording. Hold on.